the Inspire Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson, with our guest host, Bianca Reyna, creator of The Reveal Show and the BB Community. Bianca?
Hola! Hi, everyone!
Today we have a very special guest on the line, Joe Rubino. Dr. Joe Rubino, CEO of Center for Personal Reinvention, is acknowledged as one of the world's foremost experts on the topic of elevating self-esteem. He's a life-changing personal development and success coach on how to restore self-esteem, achieve business success, and maximize joy and fulfillment in life and productivity. He is known for his groundbreaking work in personal and leadership development, building effective teams, enhancing listening and communication skills, life and business coaching, and optimal life planning. His 12 best-selling books and audio programs are available in 23 languages and in 58 countries. One of the things we're talking about on this summit is if there was a time in your life where, rather than getting beat down by the wave of change, you got up and rode that wave. Now, Joe, was there a pivotal moment for you that created the inspired change that led you down this path of transforming your life?
Well, there was, Jeremy. At the age of 35, I was at a place, a crossroads in life. I found myself very much resigned and apathetic toward life. I was successful by society standards as a practicing dentist with two thriving practices, lots of appreciative patients, the respect of my peers, and yet I felt this gnawing sensation in the pit of my stomach that there was something missing for me, that is this all there is to life? And the novelty of dentistry had worn off. I had been practicing at that point for about 11 years. And so, as the universe does, I was introduced to a personal development program and the whole concept of personal development at that time. And I learned through a one-year program that became a 10-year program where I immersed myself into reinventing myself. I learned that we all have the ability to live from a declaration of the person that we've decided to be and the identity that we've created for ourselves over the course of our lifetime to that whatever point in life where we're ready to step into inspired change is exactly where we're supposed to be. So all of the lessons, all of the struggles, the suffering and the trauma that we've gone through has brought us to a point where we have increased our empathy, increased our wisdom, and we're now ready when we decide that we are to step into a new possibility, and that's a life of choice, a life where we decide the master game that we're going to be playing. We decide what kind of legacy we're going to leave to the world. We decide the qualities that we want others to know us by, and we start to step into a new possibility where we live deliberately, as opposed to the default which most people live by, which says, this is just who I am, and this is just who other people are, and the world is just the way it is, and it's usually an interpretation that doesn't serve us, that the world is full of scarcity or violence or, cruelty or whatever it is that has us small and stuck in suffering.
Yeah.
So my transformation began then at 35 where I decided to step into that personal development process, and it morphed into, once I reinvented myself, teaching these principles to others, and that's what I've done now for 25 years.
That sounds pretty similar to my experience. So, what you were talking about, for me, it was living by what everybody else thought I should live by, and doing what I thought everybody else thought I should be doing, rather than living the way that I knew I was meant to live. So,
well, it's easy for that to overcome us, you know, the shoulds in life and the obligatory values, as opposed to getting in touch with our core values, the things that are most important to us, which most of us live our entire lives in denial around and not fully realizing those things that are most important. And so then we wonder why we're suffering, and we're wondering why life doesn't work, and we're wondering why we're stuck in jobs that are less than fulfilling, or we have relationships that are strained, or we're not abundant and prosperous, or we're not having any fun. And all of those things are not no accident. And when we get to step into the possibility of designing a life and choice, we now get to take responsibility for every aspect of our lives being optimal, as opposed to, you know, that's just the way things are.
Yeah. So, Joe, what do you consider to be the most important component for anyone to live their dream life?
Well, it's absolutely high self-esteem, because when we have high self-esteem, we believe in ourselves. We see our future as not only inevitably bright, but we are self-motivated to step into that future. We have the ability, when we have high self-esteem, to take an idea and to be able to have the personal power to manifest that idea into reality. We also believe in ourselves, so we feel like we're lovable, and we have the attention and the affection of other people. We're significant, so that when we make mistakes, we forgive ourselves. When other people make mistakes, we forgive them. We know that it's part of the learning and growing process. We also, people with high self-esteem live by the golden rule. They live with an expectation that what we give to others and do to the world comes back to us tenfold. So it's not the same as high ego, which is quite the opposite, where people that operate from ego see the world as a scarce place, typically, and that they see themselves as needing to get their share at the expense of other people most of the time. So they'll resort to whatever that takes to get theirs at the expense of others. Whereas people with high self-esteem realize that we're all connected, and that to the extent that we can empower others, we will create value in their lives, and we'll be most abundant, happy, and, you know, have fulfilling relationships and work and love life.
We're not just born with this self-esteem.
There's different types of self-esteem. There's situational self-esteem, and there's overall self-esteem in all areas of life. And most of us have high self-esteem in some areas and lower self-esteem in others. And, you know, look at children, typically the world is their oyster, and when, you know, they don't see limitations until some event happens. And it's usually before the age of six where someone says or does something that has them stop and see themselves differently. Maybe it's a bullying episode or an abusive situation or a name that they're called. Maybe it's a spanking. Maybe it's someone says or does something that has one of two consequences. Either the child buys into the negativity. Someone says, you're stupid, you smell funny, you don't belong, you're unlovable. There's something imperfect about you. Or someone says something, like a parent perhaps, or an authority figure, not meaning any harm, but the child reacts as though the interpretation is negative. So maybe a parent says, what's the matter with you, Jeremy? And you think, well, let me look. And, of course, we find the thing that we're focused upon. And from that point onward, we start to see ourselves as somehow less than perfect. So our perspective shifts, and we look at the world through colored glasses, and we create a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that as the years and the decades go by, we have created first a few pieces, and then dozens, and then hundreds, and then thousands of pieces of evidence that says, this is who I am. I'm defective, I'm lovable, not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not charismatic enough, nobody likes me. Whatever our own particular version is that has us settle for less. And we develop a survival strategy in order to survive in what we perceive to be a world that is against us, with people who have conflicting needs that are in opposition to our needs. And so that survival strategy is a way that doesn't support us. It's a way of looking at the world in such a manner that says, this is who I am, this is who other people are, and this is what the world is like. And these interpretations are based in lack, they're based in struggle, they're based in competition, and they serve to have us create a self-fulfilling prophecy where we manifest our most severe fears. We actually manifest the things that we fear the most. Scarcity, broken relationships, being alone, not belonging, not having any fun, whatever it is that we are afraid we manifest those things because they're our expectation. And we're kind of wired like a thermostat. When we see our future as inevitably bright, we engender the self-motivation that's necessary to achieve that future on purpose. When we expect to fail, when we expect to suffer, when we expect to have broken relationships, we self-sabotage, and then we get to be right about the fact that I told you that no one liked me.
Yeah.
I told you I wasn't smart enough to be in business.
Yeah.
I told you that, and you fill in the blank.
How
so
fun is that?
Most of us,
right.
most of us operate somewhere between those two extremes, and we base our future on our history. So we've created an identity that says, these are the things I'm good at. These are the things I'm terrible at. These are the people that I can be around. These are the people who hate me. And we develop this very solid box that we now live our lives out of that has us magnify our limitations and settle for less.
Yeah. Wow. So basically, when we're kids, one of the things, would you say it's fair to say that looking to our parents as parents and authority figures in our lives when we're young, and they're the ones that help us survive, if we get spanked or reprimanded somehow, that we choose to align and agree with whatever we think it is they're saying is wrong with us, and then we build all of our habits throughout life on top of that, that big lie that we are somehow not worthy or somehow wrong.
We either buy into their negativity, so if they call us a name or they think lowly of us, then we accept that oftentimes, or we misinterpret the things that they say and do in a way where we blow them way out of proportion. And whether we make it up or we buy into it, what happens is we then start to see ourselves as flawed, unlovable, not good enough, and we start to create that downward spiral based upon the misinterpretations and the mistaken assumptions that guide our lives until we reach a point where, very soon, where those interpretations become invisible and we think that that's just who we are. We are flawed.
Ooh.
We are unlovable. We are stupid. And we don't, we totally lose sight of the fact that we made it up or we bought into somebody else's stuff.
Yeah, and then that goes on autopilot, and we don't realize it, huh?
No, it becomes just part of who we think we are. And that's where the survival techniques come in, because we have to survive. So maybe we lie, maybe we cheat, maybe we steal, maybe we hide under a rock. We do whatever it takes, because we've determined something about ourselves and others in the world that's harsh, that's unforgiving. And if we're going to survive, then we need to do it in a certain way. And we all have our own version of that.
Yeah. Would you even say that can come out in an adverse way? For example, I know, like, one of the things that being raised by not my parents, I always wanted to to always want to feel accepted. So I always, like, felt like I overachieved in order to continue to gain that acceptance. And so, you know, by overachieving, I placed myself into a career that I really did not love, right? And, you know, really wasn't my heart's passion. So that could that be the same thing? Is like, it comes out in an adverse way, like you're over trying to compensate for that place of lack or insecurity or that,
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds like you made up that you were not good enough or defective in some way. Not loved, and as a result of that.
Unlovable for not,
You know, you had to do something in order to protect yourself. And so your winning formula, so to speak, the way that you survive in the world, was to be smart, to have success, to be an achiever. Because you thought that the more I achieve, then people are going to have to like me. They're going to have to accept me. They're going to have me belong. And, you know, what you – the mistaken assumption was that if you didn't achieve, then you wouldn't be lovable, that you wouldn't belong, that you wouldn't survive. And that's what you made up. And, you know, it has a lot of benefits. I mean, you've got to this great place in your life because you've been driven to prove that you are good enough, thinking that you're not.
Right. Right.
You know, and so, but there's a cost. There's no peace in a scenario where you have to constantly cheat in order to be worth your salt. Because, you know, what will happen is you will eventually self-sabotage and you'll interpret that you're not good enough, that you're, you know, that you are defective because you're building a house on a swamp. You're not, you haven't healed your past. And you haven't reinterpreted that early decision in a way that supports you. And so you're still operating from a decision you made when you were, how old when you were raised by someone else?
Probably, I mean, probably started about 2 years old. Yeah.
2 years
old. I mean,
old.
Probably in infancy, actually, but to where I can know. It was probably around two.
Yeah, and we all do that. We all have our own version of that. At some point, we decide that we're not perfect. We don't fit in. We're different than other people. And so how are we going to get along in the world? And so, you know, you decided that you would achieve.
And I think that it can also be, not just to get into my stuff, but I think that for some, or for me, it can also be kind of hard to recognize that because it looked like, outside looking in, it looked like success, right? But it was masked in a different way. And I love that you said house built on a swamp. That's such a great analogy, and that makes total sense.
Well, you know, I was bullied when I was 5 years old by some teenagers, and I made up that I was small and insignificant and that the way that I would survive is to withdraw from people and to be really smart. So I studied wrong with walks, and I avoided people at all costs. When I was a little kid, I remember crossing the street when I would see someone that I knew, put my head down and make off that I didn't see them. And I quickly developed the reputation as quite the snob. And people thought I was better than they were, that I thought that I was better than they were, but it was just the opposite. I thought I wasn't as good as they were, and I thought that if they got to know me, they would beat me up. So I tried to avoid people. And you know, there was no accident that I became a dentist where people couldn't talk back to me.
So, I'll show you.
Yeah, it becomes very, you know, invisible to us. We don't realize how we develop our identities until they're formulated, and then we just think, well, that's who I am. And the good news is that we all have the ability to flip that light switch and to step into a new possibility where, you know, I was an extreme introvert, for example, for most of my life, first 35 years of my life, and I decided that that didn't serve me, and so I was going to be someone who contributed to people, someone who inspired people, because I would now shift and start inspiring myself. And so it's a function of the questions that we ask ourselves. Who am I being now that supports me or not? And when we see something show up around us that is not to our liking, we can ask ourselves, you know, what's missing that if put in a place would support me to produce a different result, with the concept of responsibility that we're responsible for everything that shows up around us as a place to come from. Not like it's true, but it's an empowered place to look to see if we don't like what's happening, then we have the ability to shift that.
So we can't just blame everybody else and all the surrounding situations?
Well, we can, but look what that gets us, you know. We become the victims. We alienate people. We become the person that evokes the sympathy of other people, and we have pity on ourselves. And, you know, if you look at the status of the world today, there's lots of victims who feel as though the world owes them a living. The world owes them survival. The world owes them everything because they refuse to take responsibility for being the person that will manifest the things that they want. So they become either angry or sad or afraid, and they use those reactive emotional states to demand that they get their needs met. And so if you look around us, you see that most of the world is based on anger. Like myself, I made up at 5 years old that that wasn't fair, to be tossed around by teenagers and hit my head on the concrete, went home crying with a big egg on my head. And I made up that life wasn't fair, that people were mean and cruel, and that the world was a dangerous place, and I had to protect myself. And we all make something up that is sourced in this type of reactive emotional mood. So mine happened to be indignant anger. How dare you do that to me? Many people stuff the anger. And 350 million people, statistics show, are addicted to sadness. These are people who had anger as unacceptable. And so they scanned, fought, and found reasons to be sad. They surrounded themselves with people that made them sad. They surrounded themselves with jobs that made them sad. They lived in abusive situations or in areas of the country where they got to be sad. And the depression actually comes as a chemical change to the brain. So it's very real. And people who are depressed totally lose sight of the fact that they manifested that depression as sadness addicts. They actually created a life where they got to be sad. Just like a heroin addict creates a heroin addiction, anger addicts create their addiction to anger by interpreting life in a way that makes them mad. Sadness addicts create their depression by surrounding themselves with situations that give them justification for being sad. And then the third group are people who are addicted to fear. These are people who worry about everything. And statistics show that 23% of women and 16% of men are addicted to fear. And again, these are victims who, it's not their fault. They were afraid. They couldn't take action. They were afraid. And that's a characteristic of victims. They avoid responsibility so they can justify what it is that they keep in place. And so we're not making light of the fact that people have hard lives, but what we're saying is that everything that shows up around you in life and me and everyone else, it is there by our creation. And when we accept responsibility, we now have a place to look to see how can I be different to manifest a different result in my life. And that's when life becomes very exciting.
I was going to say that's the kind of stuff that makes me want to do a cartwheel, right? Like, it doesn't have to be that, right? Like, you can take back your own ownership by doing the things, like you said, raising our, creating higher self-esteem versus ego and, you know, and redesigning this. One of the things that I really liked, and you might have already talked about this, but I want the listeners to really get this. You said the most important component for anyone to live their dream was to raise their self-esteem. But, you know, how do you do this? How do you keep going? What is your why?
Well, my why is, you know, it's been a progression. First it was to get out of the resignation that kept me in a job that was not fulfilling, kept me not having any fun in life, kept me from dishonoring my most important values. So, but before I did that, I had to identify what those values are. Being an inspiration to myself first and then others. Being of contribution to others because I wasn't contributing to anyone, including myself. Having fun and being able to, live a life of choice and a life of freedom. So those are all important values. But one of the things that we all get to do is we get to determine what would make life worth living. What would living deliberately actually look like? So for me, I've constantly expanded my why to the point where out of some coaching with some very powerful coaches, I declare that my reason for creating a legacy in this world, my vision for my life would be to be an inspiration to 20 million adults, and it's since morphed into 20 million children. So what that did was it gave me a game to play that I didn't know how to play. It gave me a master game where I had to handle my own petty concerns. I had to learn to speak because I couldn't lead three people in silent prayer, I was told, for most of my life. I had to develop my gift of writing, which, I didn't know I had. I had to look for opportunities to duplicate myself. Because if I'm going to impact 40 million people, 20 million adults and 20 million children, I can't do it alone. So I have to find ways to be creative, which is another value of mine,
mm-hmm.
where I could
mm-hmm.
duplicate and teach these principles to others who could go on and teach them into the world. So that's what keeps me going.
Well,
constantly creating a new and better game to play that has me step closer to realizing that vision.
Yeah, that sounds great. This is great stuff, Joe. So it sounds like you've probably created a way to share this. What is your advice for creating a roadmap for personal reinvention? How can one recreate who they are and how they live in this life?
Well, I've actually created a self-esteem system where it has three components, Jeremy. The first is healing and completing our past. So until we're complete with our past, we get to relive it. So anything that we made up as a child that we've reinforced over the years, we get to reinterpret. Any values that are not fully honored, we get to fully honor them and take responsibility for manifesting our dream life. We get to forgive. We get to complete. We get to step into a new possibility that says, this is the person I've decided to be, and whatever I made up about myself and others in the world doesn't support me, I have the ability to reinterpret in a way that does. So once our past is completed, I give a bunch of exercises through the program that allow that to happen very easily, kind of like painting by numbers, where you understand a principle, and then you have an exercise that has you map that principle onto your life so that you've actually experienced life in a new way. Because we act from the pictures of how we see life, how we see our relationships, how we see our potential. And when we shift those pictures, our life shifts. So healing and completing our past is the first step. The second is doing a proper assessment of what's so in our lives right now. So we get to look at the six key areas of life: our health and appearance, wealth and finances, our career, our relationships, having fun and pursuing our passions and recreating, and our personal development and spiritual development. And in all of those areas, we get to look at what's working and what's missing that, if put into place, would have that area be more effective, more close to our dream life. And by doing that proper assessment, we get to do such things as we get to identify what our gifts are. We get to identify what our most important values are and how can we honor them. We get to look at how we can share those gifts and develop those gifts with others. We get to actually declare a life purpose, something that we're going to use our life energy for, to leave a legacy and to make a difference in the world. And we get to then create a new vision for our lives that is a function of the third element, which is designing a life and choice. So if we had a magic wand that we could wave over our lives and we could actually create a life that is our dream life, what would it look like? What were the qualities that we would be known for? Who would we be to live that dream life? What would we do on a typical day at work and a typical day at play? What are the things that we would have in our lives? The people? Where will we live? Will we live in a part of the world that inspires us? Would we have toys that make life fun? Would we go on trips? Would we have a beautiful home and pets and cars? And, what are the things that would add to our lives? And most importantly, who would we contribute to? What causes and people would we live our lives empowering and supporting? Because we're committed to them. So when we've created this dream vision that aligns with our life purpose and allows us to manifest our gifts, we then get to manifest it deliberately. So we get to set goals that align with the vision, and then we get to take actions that make the short-term, the medium-term, and the long-term goals a reality. And the actions can be daily actions, it can be weekly, monthly, they can be periodic, but the actions will support us to manifest the goals that align with our vision. And when we live deliberately like this, what happens? We get clarity on what we're committed to. We get clarity on how we're going to live intentionally. And so the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to experience interruptions to these new commitments called problems. And if we're not in development, then the problems are going to derail us. They're going to throw us back into the soup, and we're going to go back to the status quo. So we get to look at problems as what they are. They are opportunities with gifts for our development. So not only do we get to welcome them, but we get to declare what they're going, we get to declare a problem in any area of life that isn't ideal, because we get to look for the gift that is being concealed awaiting our discovery. So how do we access these areas when oftentimes we're blind to them? Well, that's where coaches come in. So we get to surround ourselves with people who allow us to gain insights into what we don't know we don't know. And we develop mastermind groups, and we develop personal development programs and coaching situations, all there to support us to achieve breakthroughs in the areas that have us stopped and stuck in suffering. And so when we do these three things, these three umbrella areas of healing and completing our past, so that we're no longer at the effect of decisions that we made earlier in life that don't support us, when we are clear about what's working in our lives and what's missing that have put into place, which help us to move forward in all key areas of life, when we're operating intentionally to manifest our vision, that's a function of our life purpose that allows us to develop our gifts and share them with others, and we're acting deliberately and intentionally by both taking action and being in development around measuring, adjusting, and correcting those actions until they're effective. So it's an entire way of being that when we can shift into being differently, the results that we get will be different. How we see the world will be different. The amount of fun that we'll be having will be different. The interpretation around success and what is success will be different. It'll be around enjoying the process of life while we're on the path to living our life purpose, honoring our values, contributing our gifts, and making a difference in the world.
Yeah, it seems like you might have touched on it already a little bit with coaching, but what about managing one's reactive nature, right? How do we best do this to shift from reactive to actually being in charge of ourselves and how our life is going? It seems like a huge shift. How could we go about that?
Well, the first key to that is to recognize when we have the ability to be different. So we have to recognize the opportunity. It's the analogy I like to give is walking down a forest path, and we come to a fork in the path. And the left-handed path is the path that we've always gone. It involves living emotionally, reacting to other people's stuff with upsets of our own, feeding our addictive emotional reactive state. It's about stepping over things. It's about not honoring others, getting our own way. All of the things that have brought us to not making life work optimally. But at the moment of choice where we decide that in any given relationship, in any given interaction with another person, we have the ability to recognize a different way to go. And it's one, the ability to recognize a different possibility, and two, having the courage to take a new path, a path of heart, a path that's unknown to us, a path that requires reinvention and managing our interpretations. So at some point, I'd love to give our listeners an exercise that will allow them to step into change, that will allow them to reinvent themselves in a way that's very powerful by managing their upsets, by managing their emotional reactive states in a way that serves their ability to live deliberately.
Yeah, that sounds
juicy.
I think
we'd all like to hear
that. I want
to
hear that.
Yeah.
I know that you have, I know that you put together some stuff for our listeners, for today's show so that they can actually dive into this and start to get, you know, reinvent themselves as well and, you know, creating the life by design. So, you know, can you talk a little bit about what you have, to share? Or are we ready?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Shall I do that before I share the exercise then?
Yeah, because we want people to stick around and hear this juicy, you know, still hear some of this juiciness and actually experience it with you. So.
Okay. So I've actually created two programs for people who want to learn these principles. One to help elevate their own self-esteem, the self-esteem of their family, and as an option to teach these principles to other adults. And we call that our High Self-Esteem Adult Program. And I also developed a program with different principals. That's our High Self-Esteem Kids program. And so these programs are programs created by my center, the Center for Personal Reinvention, where we actually certify self-esteem elevation coaches for adults or children, or both, where you can take these principles, you can impact your own life, impact your family's lives, you can go and earn a living as a self-esteem elevation coach for children or adults or both. And these programs are part of how I can realize my vision of impacting 20 million children and 20 million adults. I can't do it alone. So over the last few years, we have certified thousands of coaches. Some have become teachers of the year based on these principles. Others have gone into their families and shifted their families' lives. Others are going out earning a nice living as a self-esteem elevation coach. And it's all about teaching these principles to support yourself and others to live in choice, to live their best lives based on high self-esteem principles where people are personally powerful, they feel significant and loved, they see the world as a win-win situation where the more they give to others, the more they get back, and they're able to live with this deliberate intention of manifesting the things that make life meaningful for them, building their relationships, creating abundance so there's no scarcity in life, and having fun. And so that's the game that I'm playing and that I would love to invite others to join me. And I think you have some links on your site that
I do. If you Jeremy was nice enough to have a big yellow button that says special offer. So if you want to click that and follow along and see these two amazing programs. I know one, you know, for me, I kind of got a little bit nervous, and I'm just going to be honest about when we talked about, you know, this, some of these things that, you know, the low self-esteem starts to happen before the age of six. I have a four-year-old, and I can, you know, hear myself sometimes saying, you know, what did you do that for? You know, kind of just like, you know, the things that my mom said to me or my grandmother, really my grandmother, but the things that, like, just out of natural reaction, right, that, you know, I kind of would want to, you know, what are some of the tools that I could do to raise him and to you know, to foster a good working, you know, high self-esteem, because I don't want him to fall privy to that same cycle that I had, right? So, you know, being able to have these tools and look through is actually super exciting for me, not only for learning for myself, but for giving that back to my legacy in the form of my children.
Yeah, Lanka, I've actually identified 31 key principles that when you map them onto a child's life, the child will grow up with high self-esteem, feel personally empowered, will be able to be powerful in the face of making mistakes, will be able to forgive others and move on, will be seeing the world as a place of abundance and not scarcity.
I love that. I love that.
Every aspect of a child's life will be different when a child sees the world from this place of possibility and at the same time recognizing other people's stuff. So part of the program is about allowing people space to be who they are, knowing that they're doing the best they know how to do. Even though we don't condone bad behavior or, you know, bad actions, we don't have to be at the effect of it. And what would a child be like if they knew that? What is it like in the world of a bully? So that when the bully calls us a name or beats us up, it's not about us. It's about them feeling not good about themselves. We become 10 feet tall and bulletproof when we realize and we have the correct thinking to see the world as it is, not from the misinterpretations that have us have to protect ourselves from the world. And that's very powerful.
Thank you for sharing this with our listeners, and we're so excited to be sharing that. And you know, I guess just if someone was going to have to buy all of these amazing tools that you have in these two packages, like what would they, you know, what would that value be? Like what would that cost individually? Because I know you've packaged it to where it all works together, and there's so many things in here like guided meditations, you know, just the, going through all of the different and bonuses, you know, if someone was having to go through coaching individually, what would someone have to, you know, what was the value here? I just want to let people know that these, you know, this is a lot. This is a lot of great, great information tools that I know I'm going to be going through. And hopefully with my son, which is exciting. Like, it actually gives me guidance.
And I've personally spent over $30,000 learning these principles. And
we
offer a year-long program where I personally teach these principles for about $12,000. You get me for a year. And, you know, we needed to make them affordable because I can't reach that many people if we're going to keep the price that high. But certainly a program like this, that's a self-study program, is worth well over $1,000. But, you know, we've offered it really at a great discount. We're at $147. Not only do you receive all of the components to learn these principles, but you will also be certified as a coach upon passing a multiple choice exam that shows your mastery of the knowledge.
That sounds to me like an amazing benefit that one can go through maybe as an adult and learn how to have better self-esteem and then be able to share that with their kids or even with other friends and family by getting certified. That's amazing that you've been able to put something like that together to give back in that big way. That's amazing. I would love it if everybody in the world was thinking that way. How can I give back to everybody in the biggest way that will transform their lives in uncountable, priceless ways?
Yeah, we're so glad that you decided not to be, that you decided to actually talk to folks now instead of being a dentist and staying behind the scenes. You are quite the contribution to the world, so thank you, thank you. Are we ready to step into to what you were going to show us?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. Well, the exercise to share with people is about how you can live an upset-free life. And what that means is, you know, there are times when it's appropriate to mourn. You know, you lose a friend, and you need to complete that. But we live in this chronic upset state typically in our lives where we're either getting into an argument with a spouse or we're at odds with a coworker or, you know, we have a bad day because somebody cut us off in traffic or whatever it is. So,
get our anger
here's an exercise.
I never have those. I don't know what you're talking about.
Here's an exercise that anyone can live this upset-free life by paying attention to their emotional reactive moods or reactive states. So the first part of this is to keep a journal, an upset journal. And an upset journal can be on your computer, it could be a notebook, someplace where you're going to write down every time you record or recognize yourself in an upset state. And remember the three common emotional reactive moods or upsetting states are a form of anger, whether that's raging anger on one end or indignant or frustrated anger on the other or somewhere in between. The people that find themselves going to sadness, it could be forlorn sadness, it could be abject depression or somewhere in between. And the third most common upset being a form of fear. So is it worry or is it abject fear or somewhere in between? So your first job is to recognize in the time of an upset, what is your most prominent emotional reactive mood or state? What type of fear? What type of anger? What type of sadness? So to the extent that you can give it an adjective and recognize, you know, what form of anger, sadness, or fear it is, it makes it easier to recognize because until you recognize it, it's invisible to you and you're on rails. You're emotionally reactive. You're damaging your relationships. You're hurting your health. You're diminishing your charisma. You're giving away your personal power. So in your journal, you're going to write down every time you recognize you're in an upset, what is your predominant mood? What type of anger or sadness or fear or how can you characterize it? So once you do, That's the big red flag that's telling you you're not seeing the world in a way that supports you. So let's go back and let's analyze what's happening. So in the time of an upset, what happened is someone said or did something that had you become angry or sad or afraid, typically. So you're going to recognize when you're in the mood, when you're in the upset, and you're going to separate out the facts from your interpretations or the meanings that you bought into or gave what someone said or did. So in the time of an upset, someone said or did something, and you made something up about yourself and about others in the world that made you angry or sad or afraid. Now, some people have a combination of those moods. Some, their first reactive emotional mood is anger, and maybe it goes to sadness or it goes to fear. But to the extent that you can identify how you're wired, you'll be able to manage it in the moment of an upset and shift out of it. So how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Recognize our mood. Ask ourselves, okay, I'm angry. What am I not seeing here? What was said or done? What did someone say or do? So if you were a reporter for a major newspaper that is only reporting the facts, you would report that, you know, Sally Smith drove her car in front of mine, cutting me off, almost causing an accident, and it made me indignantly angry. Okay, so those are the facts. So what did you make up about Sally Smith that made you angry? Sally didn't care about me. Sally was a bad driver. Sally was reckless. Sally, you know, was selfish, whatever it was. Okay, what's a new interpretation you can make up in the time of an upset that keeps you in relationship with the person without condoning bad behavior? Sally was preoccupied. Sally just got a call from her spouse, perhaps, and with some upsetting news. Sally was having some challenges at work and wasn't paying attention to the road. Have you ever made a bad move driving? Let's say that that's the upset. Of course.
No, never.
So, with empathy and forgiveness, how can you create an interpretation that keeps you in a relationship? Well, Sally made a mistake, and that you're not going to let it ruin your day. You're going to just be careful, and you're going to forgive that person for cutting you off. So, it's the same with any upset. If you look at the last time you were in upset with your spouse or your coworker or your neighbor, whatever it was, separate out the facts from the interpretations, identify the predominant emotional reactive state that made you angry, sad, or afraid. Give up your right, if you're willing, to be angry, sad, or afraid. So that's the question you're going to ask yourself. Am I willing to give up my right to be angry or sad or afraid? Because what happens is we are so addicted to our emotional reactive states that many times it's so juicy to be in that reactive state that, you know, we'd rather be angry at somebody than make life work. We'd rather
be sad. Yeah, because I know I'm right.
That's right. And we all get to choose, do we want to be right or do we want to be happy? And you can't be both. So you can make that decision. You know, being sad makes us a victim. It allows us to feel sorry for ourselves. It allows us to evoke the pity of other people. And as a victim, we get to avoid responsibility for making life work. Same with fear. We get to be a victim. We get to, justify our inaction. We get to make somebody else wrong. And so we have to choose. Do we want life to work or do we want to be right about something? So are we willing to give up our right to be angry, sad, or afraid? If the answer is yes, then we create a new interpretation in the moment by reinterpreting the facts of what happened in a way that allows us to stay in relationship with the other person. So we actually get to be in relationship in such a way where we give up our right to be a victim and we take responsibility for everything that's showing up around us in life. And when we do that, we actually get to make life work optimally. We get to be effective with people. We get to create an interpretation that allows us to be personally responsible in the moment based upon the situation that supports us, as opposed to being reactive and then regretting our actions later. So I guarantee
really
you,
self-powering.
If you take that on, you will see life differently, and over time you'll develop a new muscle, a muscle that's not based on a reactive mood, but a muscle that's based on living intentionally. And if you take that on, your life will shift because you'll see that you have the ability to be in control of your destiny as opposed to allowing others to determine your emotional moods.
Wow. Yeah, being in charge of our emotions rather than being driven by our emotions. Right?
Yeah, big difference.
Wow.
Wow, that's just so exciting to know that making that shift can give me, you know, can actually design the life of my dreams, right? Like, I mean, this is really what we're saying here. You know, eventually, like you said, it's a muscle. We keep working on it because, I mean, hearing you say it, sometimes I'm like, mm-hmm, like I'm gonna forgive Sally for taking off my bumper. But at the same time, you know, you come from a place of seeing it from maybe a different, totally different perspective and keeping that relationship. I love that.
And Leonka, it doesn't mean that we condone bad behavior. So, you know, there is a time when it's appropriate to be angry. You know, you're sitting in your office and you see someone abducting your child, you're going to use that anger as a powerful force to go and save your child. But if you're constantly angry at the least little provocation, I say that it doesn't serve you to live in that chronic reactive state. So this is a tool to allow you to get rid of the chronic upsets that decrease the quality of your life.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'll report back and let you know how it's going, and let the listeners know, like, down the line, because I'm really inspired by that. I mean, just taking out the journal, and I wrote down a couple of things here just now, right? Some of the things that I had a reaction to that made me angry, and I was allowing, in hearing you speaking, I was allowing myself to stay in relationship and see, okay, well, you know, it was just this, or not condoning bad behavior, but really seeing it for a different perspective, right?
Yes.
And even that felt better. Like, I could feel like, you know, we can even take this a step further and say this is how we lock stuff in our body, but I could, and how it affects our health, but I could literally feel my stomach, like, kind of relax and let it go, you know? Like, I could literally feel my body feel more spacious.
Yes. Well, it has great costs. It'll damage our health, our relationships, our personal effectiveness, our happiness, our life purpose. We won't be able to achieve any of the things that are meaningful if we're always in that reactive mode.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
That.
Yeah, thank you. One more description of your product here. Create ultimate success and manifest your dreams with soaring self-esteem. Discover the most powerful personal tool that you can use to transform your life to experience true emotional freedom and lasting happiness. In this audio, you'll hear from life-changing success coach and best-selling author Dr. Joe Rubino as he reveals the number one ingredient essential to attracting success, abundance, happiness, rewarding relationships, and fulfillment to your life. You'll also receive a complimentary 7-part mini course and a life-changing video to support you and live your very best life. That sounds like a wonderful life-changing tool that I'm sure many could really benefit from. So is there anything else you'd like to share about the products here that you're offering?
Well, what you just described was a gift that people can access by checking out our work. And so,
there we go.
You know, just go to the link
well,
that
awesome.
You'll find.
So
and,
I love that it's free. That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll have
it's
that.
It's valued at $129, and it not only comes with a 45-minute audio, a one-hour video, but also 7 mini course lessons. So that's just a thank you for going to those links to check out our high self-esteem adult or kids program.
Wow. Nice. Thank you for that. Thank you. What a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Sorry,
well, anyway, anything.
That was free.
That's so awesome. So my question for everyone is, you know, how can, and I'd love for people to write in, let us know, if you guys are doing the journaling, if you've checked out the free gift, let us know. That information will be there on the website, right underneath the speaker page. So we're excited about that. And you'll see all the links and the buttons for that, clearly labeled under Joe's beautiful face or handsome face. I say beautiful because I love girls, but, handsome picture there. And, if there's one thing that you'd like to leave people, any closing thoughts or,
I'd like to leave people with a challenge.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, there's been no accident that you've been here with us today. And we all have opportunities, and we get to either take responsibility for acting on them, taking some action step that puts us a little closer to that dream life that we spoke of, or it could just be an interesting hour that we spent today where you get to revert back to the things that have got you wherever you are in life. And, you know, some of those things are great. Some of those things you'll keep. But my invitation to you is that if any area of your life is not working optimally, if you're not abundant, if you're not in rich, warm, intimate, loving relationships, if you aren't having fun in your life, if you don't have a powerful personal development program or spiritual life, if you're not fulfilled in your career, then you have a choice. And that choice, at least get the free gift and start to, you know, expand your mind to the point where you start to see life a little bit differently. And step into that personal development space I invite you to. And don't settle for less, because we're either climbing the hill of self-improvement, making every day an improvement on the day before and developing our gifts and living life full out, contributing to others, or we're just doing the status quo where we're surviving, where we're doing the best we can based on the mistaken assumptions that have life be scarce or have life be filled with and broken relationships or not having any fun. And it doesn't need to be that way. It can be where you get to choose deliberately, and this is an opportunity where you've been given a glimpse as to what life can be for you, and now it's up to you to take action and have the courage to at least take the next step to move in the direction of being the best that you can be, and that's the invitation that I leave you with.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Joe, for all your work, all the investment financially and time-wise that you've put into bettering yourself and figuring out ways that you can help share that with the world. I think that your work is extremely valuable here, and really, really honor what you do. Thank you so much, Joe, for being on the show and having the work that you're offering. And I guess to listeners out there, if you feel inclined, by all means, check out the free gift. See if it's something that resonates with you and is something that can help support you in your life journey. Thank you all for being here, for being you, for listening. And with that, I bid you well. Enjoy life and make it the most amazing journey that you can imagine possible and beyond.
Thank you, Jeremy and Leonka, and thank you to all of our listeners as well for your time and attention. And I wish you Godspeed in manifesting your dream lives.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, everyone. Thank you to the listeners. Send out much love and light to all, and I wish you all the best on your healing journeys and your contributions that you give the world by working on yourselves and healing yourselves and helping mm-hmm. yourselves all become better and better and more whole and complete and healed. So, much love. Take care.